The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he'll convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin because they do not believe in him. Righteousness because I am going to the Father, and you'll no longer see me. Condemnation because the rule of this world has been condemned." The Gospel of the Lord. Ask you all to praise me. I broke my finger so you can be seeing me walking around with a cast. Okay? I didn't get in a fight with one of the other priests. It wasn't that. I just fell and I broke my finger. No, so there's no any brawl with any of the priests. So don't call the bishop, okay? First reading is it's one of my favorites in the Acts of the Apostles. There's so much there. But I'll give you three or four ideas. One is that Paul and Silas are suffering because they're preaching the Word of God. They're suffering because they're doing something good. Now you people also, if you're really living out the gospel, you're going to be persecuted. And probably the first place where you're going to be persecuted is probably going to be in your own home among family members. Because you people who come to daily mass, you receive communion, you say your rosary, you make your holy hour, you go to confession every month or 2 weeks or every week, your family members are going to call you fanatics, right? Spanish chiflados, okay? They're going to be calling you kind of nuts. You know, you've gone off the deep end. That's actually a good sign. So don't feel bad that your family members see you as a fruitcake or someone that's kind of a nutty person that is a candidate for the manicomium, okay? That's good. So Paul and Silas were thrown in jail because they were preaching Jesus Christ. Now, they suffered a lot. They were stripped and they were beaten with rods. You can imagine that. And not just once, but many times. Then they were in jail at midnight. What are they doing? They're praying and they're singing hymns to God. Think about that. They've just been brutally beaten, but they're still praying and they're praising God. Okay, what's the point there? Never give up prayer. Never give up prayer. Even when you have a broken arm, okay? Never give up prayer. I'm going to take advantage of this, no? Tell some people I've got this stigmata. The other one, you know, I got angry Father Larry, tried to duck and hit the wall. No. I'm going to get my mileage out of this one, I'll tell you. But see, they're suffering persecution, they're their backs have got these bruises and gashes. What do they do? They're in jail? Well, here we are. Let's pray and let's sing. And the other prisoners are listening to them. So St. Paul says that the Word of God cannot be chained. They're chained, but the Word of God can't be chained. So what happens? There's an earthquake. Have you ever had an earthquake in your life? Okay, the Northridge, right, 20 years ago or something. Have you ever had any spiritual earthquakes in your life? Hello?
Yes.
Who sent those spiritual earthquakes? Thanks be to God. You know why God sends spiritual earthquakes? Because we can be lazy at times. And to shake our laziness, sometimes God sends us earthquakes. Should I pray for you today that God sends you earthquakes? Is that an amen or an oh me? That's an oh no, probably, right? But these earthquakes come because we can all become lazy. We start praying with a lot of fervor, then as the sun goes down, so does our fervor decline, and God has to send us some type of earthquake to wake us up. Now what happens is the earthquake, it opens up the doors to the prison, and the chains of the prisoners fall off their hands. And the prison guard gets a knife, and he's about to stab himself. Why did he do that? Because a Roman prisoner, if that happened, the Roman authorities would kill him anyway. Because he was derelict in his duty. They got free. You're a bad prison guard. You're going to pay with your life. So he thought, well, I might as well end my life anyway. What happens? Don't do anything. We're in here. We're in the prison. Don't do anything to yourself. St. Paul saved this man from committing suicide and going to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now see how Paul transforms a tragedy into a glorious victory. This man who's about to commit suicide, he runs to Paul and says, what can I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he frees Saul, he tends to his wounds, he takes Paul and Silas to his household. Paul preaches to him. And the guy's converted. And his whole family is converted. And they set a meal for him and they rejoice. This is the power of a saint. A saint is a person that lives in God's presence. A saint is someone that suffers for Christ. A saint is someone who is persecuted for Christ. A saint is someone who's going to be praying and singing even though he's suffering. A saint is going to be open to God's inspirations, going to be able to read the signs of the times. A saint is going to try to save people from making bad choices. Have you ever saved someone from making a bad choice? Have you ever saved someone from maybe committing a sin? I hope you have. And the saint is going to be rejoicing with those who rejoice. So in honor of St. Paul in this victory, let's pray that when God sends earthquakes into our lives, we would wake up, recognize that we're called to work like St. Paul to save many souls. Amen.
Amen.